Turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're almost through this book of Galatians. I think we'll probably finish up next week. And if not the week after, there's another message for sure, and probably two. I've been looking at the week and trying to figure out which way to go, but in the next week or so anyway. By the end of July, we'll be out of the book of Galatians. How's that? And we've been at it since January, so we've been taking our time. It's only six chapters. Praise God. Galatians chapter 6. Last week we did verses 1 to 5. Today we're going to do verses 6 down to 10. And let's look there for a minute. Actually, let's read the first 10 verses, because at the end of it, I just want to refer back to something in the first few verses. Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest also you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden, his own load." Verse 6. "Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow and ask God's direction, and we'll go right into it. Father, we're so thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, as we look into the word of God, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would just enlighten our understanding. And Father, you would receive the glory to yourself. Help us to see something in this today, Lord, that we can put into practice. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. And as you know, we've been going through this for quite some time. This is part 17. And today we're going to talk about doing good. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to do good, not that we would get into heaven. You don't get into heaven because you're good. You get into heaven because God is good. That's the bottom line. Doing good is still important. Some people say, well, if I don't have to do good to get to heaven, what's the point of doing good? The Bible says that we would do good, that men would see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Because when we do something good, it glorifies God. When we do good works, whether it's helping somebody or helping them financially or physically some way, or comforting them when they're going through struggles like we've seen this past week, when all these things take place, God is pleased with that. And people look and say, well, listen, this people really know God, really love God. And the Bible says God gets glorified in that. So this is why we do good things. But Paul here in Galatians chapter 6, now remember what we're going through. And we're breaking it up so many times lately, because last week we broke because of Canada Day, and then we had Father's Day and Mother's Day and, you know, other things, and we had other speakers come in, so we drained this out for a long time. So sometimes when you're not every Sunday, you almost forget where you're at before. So just to give you a quick recap, Galatians was a group of churches. Galatia was a province, the same as Ontario was a province. It was a province of Rome, and in that province there were a lot of churches. Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, okay? So he wrote to all the churches in that province. And as I've told you many times, what happened, Paul went and preached, and a lot of people got saved. A lot of churches started up in different villages and towns and cities and different things. Paul set up those churches. And after Paul left, there were people that came in from the Jerusalem church. These were Jewish people that had given their hearts to the Lord, that just could not let go of some of the things that they learned in the past. And so they came, everywhere Paul went, they came after Paul, and after Paul was gone, and they met with the people in the churches, and they said, listen, Paul never told you the full truth. Paul is not telling you everything there is. Yes, you got to accept Jesus as your Savior, but you still got to be circumcised. You still got to keep the Sabbath day. You still got to live under the Jewish customs. You still got to eat the certain dietary rules and dietary laws. You still got to live under this old system, because this is the way that our fathers always did it. Remember, they used to sing a song years ago, give me an old time religion. It was good for mother and father or something like that. It was good enough for me. Well, that's good if it's good what mother and father had. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so they were saying what they had back there, they said, we still got to do that today. And Paul was writing to churches in Galatia and coming against that and said, no, that's wrong. He said, what you have today, he said, is totally new. Yes, all these things pointed to it back here. But this is not, Christianity is not an addition to Judaism. It's a totally new, different thing. This is why Jesus said, you can't take old wine and pour it in a new bottle. Or the other way around. Can't take new wine and pour it in an old bottle. He said, because the wine is going to ferment, and eventually burst the bottle. And you lost everything. You lost the wine, you lost the bottle too. And he said, you can't take an old garment and sew a new cloth to it. Because the new cloth is going to shrink and it's going to do different things and it's going to rip the old garment. So he said, we're not trying to add Christianity onto Judaism. Christianity is a totally new thing. Okay, so, and this is what Paul was writing. So this is what was going on. Now, and so Paul tells them, you're not saved because you can keep the Ten Commandments so good. He said, the Ten Commandments, all it did was keep you in bondage. Now, this is not my words. This is the Word of God. The Ten Commandments condemn you. They never help you. They condemn you. The Bible says it was a ministration of condemnation. Paul says in Corinthians, it was the administration of death. You know, the Bible says the thing that gives sin the strength is law, is the law. So he said, what we have today, he said, is better. As a matter of fact, Hebrews is written for the same kind of thing, because the Hebrews, the same thing was happening. People are coming to them and said, why don't you come back to Judaism? Why don't you come back to Judaism? And Paul said, no, or the writer to the Hebrews said, no, what you have now is better than what they had back there. They only had symbols, they only had rituals that they were going through, and even today there are some people that are still satisfied to go through rituals and ceremonies and think that's all there is to serving God. If I can keep Lent, if I can keep the Christmas and Easter, and I can do different things, I'm okay, I'm a good Christian. Paul was saying, no, that's not where it's at. It's the reality is in Jesus. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. So anyway, you all understand that. So what we're doing now, remember, we told you the first two chapters, there's six chapters altogether. The first two chapters, Paul defends the gospel. Because the Judaizers were saying Paul was preaching the wrong gospel. And Paul said, no, this is the right gospel. And in chapters 1 and 2 in Galatians, you'll find that Paul defended it sternly. Then in chapters 3 and 4, the second two chapters, chapter 3 and 4, Paul explains the gospel. Explains that salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. He said Abraham was saved, Abraham was righteous before God, even before the law came into existence. So he said righteousness don't come by the law. This is basically what he's saying. So in chapters 3 and 4, he explains what the gospel is. Now in chapters 5 and 6, Paul is explaining to us how to apply that to our lives, how to walk in that new life. Okay? Now, and what was happening? People were getting saved. And we still see this today in some circles. People get saved through grace. They accept what Jesus did on Calvary. But then we give them a pile of rules, a list of do's and don'ts. Now, this is what you got to do in order to be a good Christian. And what we're doing, we're putting them right back under the law again and say, listen, you got saved by grace, but you keep yourself by law. See? And Paul said, that's foolishness. He said, don't you understand? He said, what the law is saying? He said, you don't want to go back there. He said, don't you understand? He said, if you break one part of that law, you're guilty of everything. And he said, Christ has redeemed us from that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because he became a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. We went through all these different scriptures. Now, so this would just give you a quick update, and if you weren't here and got all this, basically what we've been covering in the past while. Now, Paul's saying, how do we live this out? If we're not living by the law, what keeps us in check? What do we have to make sure that we're not going to go overboard? Remember, Paul said, don't use your freedom as a license to sin. Don't use this as something, well, I can do anything now because Jesus forgave me. There's people that believe that. Paul said, no, that's not the case. Paul puts it, he said, God forbid. In other words, don't even think of that. Don't even think that way. Okay? Now, we talked about last week, or week before last, I guess, about those that are caught in a trap. those that are caught in a sin. And Paul says here, if anyone is overtaken in a sin, I just recap quickly what we did last week. If anybody's overtaken in a sin, and the word overtaken there is like if somebody got caught in a snare. A person gets caught in sin. Now the law says, stone them. How many times under the Old Testament you see somebody that did something wrong and God would judge them right away? The ground would open up and swallow them. Or they'd take them out and stone them. Or, you know, something else would happen. They'd kill them if they sinned. Well, because that was the dispensation of law. That's what Paul says. Don't you understand what the law means? You want to go back under that again? You know, nobody wants to live under the law. Okay, so you need to understand what Paul's saying. He said, you need to understand, he said, those that want to go back under the law and say, listen, we got to live by the Ten Commandments, we got to live by all these Jewish customs, we got to live by... He said, don't you understand what the law says? And he said, if you break one part, God considers you guilty of breaking everything. So therefore, he says, no one is going to be justified by keeping the law. No one can do it. Now, so Paul is saying here, and this is what he's doing in the last two chapters, is explaining how do you live this life then? If we don't have to live by these rules in order to please God, do we just forget them? Did we just ignore them? How does this all fit together? And so Paul says, see, and then he brought in, as I said, last message we talked about, Paul mentioned, if somebody's overtaken in a fault, now, they knew exactly what to do if he's under the law. Take him out and stone him. Get rid of him. You know, kill him. Right? This is why people don't understand God. When you try to explain God by explaining what happened under the law, is very difficult. This is why the Bible says, God in sundry times, in times past, spoke unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Okay? You try to explain how God is, explain what Jesus is like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, the works that I'm doing, he said, are not my works, they're my Father's works. He said, I don't do anything unless I heard my Father say it first. Okay? So, when you try to explain what God is like, explain him through Jesus. Because Jesus came down and became one of us and expressed to us the heart of God. Okay. So over here, somebody's overtaken in a fault, they deserve to be killed. Paul says, no. Now in this new dispensation, anybody's overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore him. Bring him back into fellowship again. Help him, encourage him. Okay. Then he talks about somebody's bearing a burden. You know, he said, you that are spiritual again, he said, get there and encourage that person. And then Paul went on to say, he said, everybody carries their own burden, their natural burden, but like we had it this past week, when somebody's got an extra burden, all the family gets together and helps them get through that. Now, so Paul says, and this is where we're going to take up today, verse 6. He said, let him that is taught in the word. Now, Ken mentioned it's hard to talk about himself. Well, this is a little bit of a almost a same kind of situation here because it's talking about supporting your pastor. So, now I never picked this out because I wanted to preach on this. This is in the sequence where we're going, okay? So understand that. Paul says, let him who is taught in the word, that would be, you know, all of us really, because I'm taught in the word from other people, but here in this setting is this group. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Okay, now, the word communicate there, when we talk about communication today, we talk about what I'm doing now, communicating, speaking, talking, you know. It's not what he's referring to there. And the word communicate is a Greek word, Strong's Concordance, is where we get the word koinonia. You remember the fellowship and everything else? But it means to share with others, to communicate is another way it's translated, to distribute, to contribute, to be a partaker or to be a partner with the person that's teaching. That's what he's saying. Now, Weymouth New Testament translation says it this way, but let those who receive instruction in Christian truth share with their instructors all temporal blessings. Now, you understand what he's saying there? He said, when you receive the teaching of God's word or the preaching of God's word, whatever the case might be, he said, those that receive the word are supposed to help supply the physical needs or the temporal needs, the temporary needs, or whatever you want to call it, of the person that's doing the teaching. Okay, let's look at it again from the Amplified. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. This is what the Amplified says. Now, Romans chapter 15, and just a couple of verses here for us to touch on. Romans chapter 15, if you can go back there for a minute. I don't hear any pages turning. There you go, I heard some. They get you by guilt if no other way. Romans chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Paul says it this way. Well, verse 25, first of all. Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia. Okay, now we were at Macedonia last couple of years preaching there. We built a church over there and helped another church over there and different things. And these people in Macedonia, Paul referred to it here. Paul went into Macedonia. Remember the Macedonian call? The man said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul went in to Macedonia and preached the gospel. And Paul says here, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Now that word contribution is the same word that we see there in communicate unto those that teach, is a contribution. And he said, it pleased them indeed that they... And they are debtors. Now notice this. For if the Gentiles, see, it's the same principle. If the congregation, we bring it up to our terminology this day and age, if the congregation receives spiritual instruction from a pastor or from a teacher of some kind, the congregation has got to look after that preacher. Okay? I'm not saying that because I'm just saying because this is Nixon's line as we're preaching, okay? But this is what he's saying. So Paul says, it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, these were Gentile people. You understand this now? It pleased them. Let's read the way Paul says here. And they are debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers, see, they were Gentiles, if they were partakers of their spiritual things, of the Jewish people's spiritual things, because revelation came through the Jewish nation. This is why the devil hates Israel so much today. The revelation of God came through Israel to the world. And he said, if the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings because of Jerusalem, because of Israel, he said, then we should give something back to Israel. This is what he's saying here. Okay? So he says here, please them indeed, that, and they are debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty, Gentile duty, is also to minister to them in material things. So Paul was taking an offering from the Jerusalem, from the Gentile churches, taking it back to Jerusalem to help out the Christians back there. They were going through some struggles there. Okay, so he's used the same word there. The contribution is the same word that is used there for communication in the passage we just read. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or 1 Corinthians, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll go to 2 Corinthians in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And beginning at verse 1, and I got to take off my glasses so I can see what I'm reading. Okay, I'll have to put them on again in a minute to see you guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And are not you my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, he said, doubtless I am to you. He's talking to the Corinthian church now, because they got saved under his ministry. He said, if nobody else considers me an apostle, he said, you fellow should. Same thing in Galatians. If no one else considers Paul an apostle, the Galatians should, because they got saved under his ministry. Okay, this is the logic he's using. He said, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to them who examine me is this. Because they were saying, Paul don't have a right. Remember we talk about the Judaizers? They came in and said, Paul's not a true apostle. He's bringing a false doctrine. He's not telling you the full truth and all these different things. And then they were saying, Paul don't even have a right to receive any offerings from you, because he's not a true apostle. This is what Paul's writing here to try to straighten out this. Okay? Now, he said, my defense to those who examine me, or those that question my, you know, receiving the offerings or whatever, he says, is this. He said, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas or Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense. So Paul's saying, he's out preaching the gospel. This is why we take up, like we have our missionary offering. We show up there every Sunday. What's coming in? And I think the last 3 or 4 years now, we haven't been behind on 1 month. And we surpassed our goal every month for the last 2 or 3 years. And Paul's saying, when we send out missionaries, we don't send them out at their own expense. We help them. And he's using the analogy of people going to war. That's what he's saying here. He says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, or who plants a vineyard and does not eat from the fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. He said, do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? Paul says, listen, he said, even the law told us this. Even back under Judaism, they understood that if you work at something, you get paid from that. I mean, you go to work for your company. Steve, you go to work for your company, you expect your company to pay you. You know, or anyone else. I mean, Dave, you go to work. Like, you know, and so we expect them to pay. You reap the benefit of what you're working at. You understand that? You're working in a plastic place, you're working in a wood place and different things. You work, now they don't send you home with a pile of plastic. You know, or you home with a pile of wood. That's no good to you. But, you know, it's changing the currency that you can use for your support and everything else. So he says, when somebody goes out and works in a field, they should be able to receive from that field, or they have flocks to receive from the flocks and all these different things. Anyway. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Some people would be stingy enough to do that, probably. But he said, you don't muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. You let it eat. He said, Is it the oxen that God is concerned about here? He said, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? He said, for our sakes, no doubt that God said this, that it is written, he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things, now Paul's referring to himself and Barnabas again now, he said, if we have sown spiritual things to you, he said, is it a great thing if we reap the material things from you? You understand what he's saying there? He said, if we're teaching you God's word, and we're doing it at, you know, putting our time into it and everything else, we're not talking about just, you know, a fly-by-night thing, but these people were, this is their life. This is Paul's life, is giving everything he had. Now, I mean, Paul was studying, Paul was, you know, doing everything that he could to get the message out to them. And Paul says, if we do that spiritually, he said, is it wrong for us, he said, to reap physical benefits from you, material benefits? Verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are not we even more? He said, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. See, Paul was going around, as I told you before, the Judaizers were coming behind Paul, and everywhere Paul went, they were criticizing Paul. They were saying, he's only out here trying to get your money. He's trying, you know. How many times do you hear people say stuff like, they're only in it for the money? Well, what's Loblaws in there for? What's Metro Store there for? You know, I mean, what's anybody there for? Everybody needs to live. You know, but they're not there, you know, ministers are not there just for the money. They're there because God called them to preach the gospel or whatever. And so Paul's saying, he said, we've not used that right, he said, because we didn't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. Because if Paul received an offer from the Corinthians there, Paul says, the Judaizers would have something to use against us. So Paul said, therefore, he said, we've not used that right. The other apostles did, but Paul and Barnabas decided themselves they would not use that right because they didn't want to give the Judaizers ammunition to use against them. This is basically what he's saying here. Now, let's move on. He said, verse 13, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake at the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And then he goes on explaining again how him and Barnabas never used that. So what he's saying here is that those that preach the gospel, in our church is, you know, me as the pastor, and other churches, the pastor, and different ministry on staff and everything else, he said, they have a right to receive your material blessings. Now, I've told you this before. Somebody drive along sometimes, and you say, "Pastor, got a trailer. Oh my goodness. Must be doing something wrong." Right? But you drive down by Steve's house, and Steve got a boat. Man, he must be doing something right. You understand that? You know, if it seems like we always got this mentality that the pastors are supposed to be poor, they're supposed to just barely get along, and a lot of churches think it's their duty in life to keep the pastor as poor as we can. You know? Anyway, I'll leave that where it's at. And no, let me say, this church is not like that. I can honestly say that, so don't feel I'm, you know, up here saying something this morning. Okay, I'm just saying that this is the mentality that, listen, it's time for the Church of God, the Church of Christ, to grow up and realize that we're in a world and we have a live in a world. And when you see somebody driving down the road, and maybe you see a minister somewhere like that, and God has blessed them or whatever, you don't know how much seed they planted into God's work, and the harvest is coming in. Okay? So let's not forget that. Don't get mad. Don't get mad because somebody gets blessed. I've told you this dozens of times. Don't get mad because somebody gets blessed. Get excited when somebody gets blessed because your time is coming too. You understand that? I told you a few weeks ago. Don't get mad because, you know, somebody gets blessed and, oh, there's nothing left for me now. That's like me going out to Lake Ontario there with a cup and dipping it in water all day long. And you say, man, I better get out before the pastor gets it all gone. Now, how stupid would that be when it's unlimited resources? But that's how it is when we come to God. It's unlimited resources with God. Anyway, let's move on. So Paul says, let him communicate to him that teaches in all good things. And then he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, remember when he talked about there in verse 1 where he said somebody is overtaken in a fault, he said, restore them gently. He said, consider yourself. Now he's telling you the same thing again. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. You can't trick God. You can't pull something over God's eyes. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever you sow in life, you will reap in life. Now, I've heard this preached, and probably I have it myself over the years, preach this from a harsh perspective. You know, and we just tear people down with it. That's not what he's saying. Notice what it, remember the entire, well, let's go on to the next verse and you'll see this better. He said, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. The Amplified Bible says, that and that only shall he reap. Okay, now, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 9, again, Paul's talking about, you know, if you reap or if you sow sparingly, you know, in other words, let me put it in common terminology. If you go out and you're planting whatever, corn or whatever, you go out and you plant just a few seeds, you're only going to get a few ears of corn. I mean, that makes sense. You don't have to be super spiritual to figure that one out. If you're planting just, you go out and throw out a few carrot seeds or whatever, you're only going to get a few carrot or whatever, potatoes or anything else. But he said, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's only common sense. But he said, if you sow bountifully, if you throw out a lot of seed, you can expect a bigger harvest. So don't get mad when somebody gets blessed. Maybe they put out a lot of seed. You understand that? You know, don't get mad. Just say, you know, they must be doing something right. You go down the field, and you see, I mean, we were driving around there yesterday, myself and Pat, we went out around Hay Bay and stuff like that, and you see these cornfields. And man, and we were up Palace Road, and I don't know, some of them roads, and went on out and ended up out in Camden East there. And you look, and you see the cornfields. I mean, not that long ago, they just put in the corn. And now it's up, you know, 2-3 feet. And we look at it, we just say, you know, if we see a big field, we just say, man, he's doing something wrong. We say, man, he's doing something right. You understand that? It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. He said, if you plant just a small amount, you're only going to reap a small amount. Don't get mad if somebody planted a big lot and got a big lot. Don't get mad at them. Do what they're doing. Anyway, this is what he says. If you reap sparingly, you sow sparingly. If you reap bountifully, you will sow bountifully. You'll get a big harvest. Anyway. Now notice right here, there's two words that keeps coming up all through Galatians. These two words here, the flesh and the spirit. Remember that? The flesh, we refer to that over here on this side of the stage, and the spirit. Or we can say the old covenant or the new covenant. Or we can say the law and grace. Or you can even go further. You can say works and faith. You understand? So he's making a difference here between the flesh and the spirit. Now, some people say, well, who is he referring to? Is he referring to us? Is he referring to the Judaizers? Who is he referring to? I believe the same principles are there for all of us. He's saying to the Galatian people, listen, the Judaizers are coming in, and they're trying to get you to sow to the flesh. Always try to do everything by the flesh. Try to serve God by how good you can keep rules, and how good you can do things, and how good you can keep the Sabbath day, and how faithful you are in this, and how faithful you are. He said, you're trying to do it here by works in the flesh. And he said, all you're going to do here is reap corruption. You understand that? He said, but if you come over here, he said, and reap in the spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Okay, now, well, I've already read the verse to you anyway. So he that to the flesh, he that sows to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the spirit, shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And the word life there is the word zoe. Okay, it means God's life. It's not just talking about the length of the life. It's talking about the quality of the life. Okay? It's the God kind of life. Okay? And anyway, we don't have time to get into it. It's a different message. But this is what he's saying. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap flesh. So if you sow to gossip and bickering all the time and complaining all the time, you're going to live in that life the rest of your life. You understand that? But if you get over here and start to sow to the Spirit, remember the Bible tells us, and I got some scriptures there anyway. In chapter 5, just the previous chapter, Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Remember that? He says in verse 18, we are to be led by the Spirit. In verse 22 and 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the outcoming of God's life living through us, the fruit of the Spirit. And then he talks about we live in the Spirit. So he's saying all these different things. He's telling us, get away from the flesh. Get away from trying to keep your own salvation by all these rules. He said, are you so foolish? He said, having beginning in the Spirit, you think you can keep yourself by going back under the flesh? You can't do it. I mean, Paul said that. Paul said, you're foolish to think that way. You get under the Spirit and you stay there. Remember, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've always said it backwards. I've told you this before. We've always said it backwards. You keep away from doing all the bad things in the flesh, you'll walk in the Spirit. That's not what he said. Walk in the Spirit first. Put the emphasis right here. These things drop off. It's like, of course, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's like we were saying earlier this morning, when I look into his holiness and I gaze into your loveliness, all things that surround me become shadows in light of you. You understand that? So he says, walk in the Spirit. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. You won't have to worry about, oh man, I can't drink, I can't do this, I can't do something else, I can't. That won't even cross your mind anymore. That would just lose its appeal once you get your eyes upon Jesus. I told you the story one time before. Dwight Moody, a young girl came to him. She said, Mr. Moody, she said, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And she said, but I can't. He said, why not? She said, I want to dance too much. She said, I'd have to give up dancing. And he said, no. He said, you get saved. Get a relationship with Jesus. He said, you can dance all you want to. She said, really? Yeah, all you want to. And she gave her heart to the Lord. And I don't know, what it was, a month after, a few weeks after, whatever, she came back to him. She said, Mr. Moody, she said, I know exactly what you meant. She said, the want to is gone. Right? You get your eyes upon Jesus. The want to for everything is wrong. It would just eventually drop off. Now, I'm not saying you'll never go back there and you'll mess up and all these. That's why Paul said, if anybody's overtaken in a fault, bring them back in again, restore them. Don't criticize them, don't jump on them, say, oh, that's their own fault, they brought this on themselves. Listen, everything you do is your own fault too, and you bring it on yourself. This is a different message altogether, but God, I mean, the scripture tells, don't judge anyone else. God is the only one, his mark at his arm. God is the only one who can judge me. A lot of people look at that and think it's arrogant, but that's exactly true. God is the only one who can judge us. And he's already done it. And I told you Friday at the funeral, he's already done it. We've all been found guilty. We all deserve to be banished forever from God's presence. But Jesus stepped in and said, listen, I'll take the punishment for him. And that's why when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Because he experienced it for me, and he experienced, the Bible says he tasted death for every man. You understand it? He's not talking about the physical death, that as well, but he tasted death, the spiritual death, what it was to be separated from God. He tasted that death for every last one of us. Anyway, but he said, if you sow to the flesh, you're just going to reap all the consequences that come from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap what the Spirit. So if you say, you know, and you got to understand, this is all tied together, what he's talking about, supporting the ministry and everything else. If all you do, you say, pastor's getting enough money, I wish I was getting what he's getting. You stay right here and you'll be dragged down. You're sowing to the flesh. Get over that foolishness and start to realize that God is unlimited and God is a blessing God. And you start getting over it and God will start blessing you. You understand that? Anyway, let's move on. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay? Don't get tired when you're doing something to help someone. And listen, I'm human as much as you are. There's times you feel like you're drained. You just don't have enough energy to help someone else again. Anybody else been there or just me? Some of you are telling the truth, the rest of you are all a bunch of liars. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Why? Because in due season, you'll reap, but there's a little clause there, if you faint not, if you don't quit. Okay? Now notice what he says there, in due season. Now who determines due season? Well, God sees everything. You know, sometimes we look at the world and we say, man, the world's falling to pieces. And in one sense, yes, I can understand exactly. But listen, God's got time on his side. Okay? Never forget that. God's got time on his side. God sees everything. And what seems like to me right now, it seems like man is just all caving in all around us and everything is fall. God sees the entire picture. God says, don't worry about that. He said, I see everything. I see what's coming next day and next day and next day and 2 years down the road and 5 years. You know, and God sees everything. God's got time on his side. So in due season, we will reap. But the clause is there, if we faint not. And I think a lot of times we believe God for something and we come very close to receiving it, and then we just, man, I can't take this anymore. And we throw in the towel and go back, and then all of a sudden we lose. You know, you ever drive on the road sometimes? Say you're going to Toronto or something like that. I mean, you're just, you know, and you get behind these trucks and everything else, and they're pulling out and passing each other, and you're trying to get past them, and you're in this lineup for a long time, and finally one of them gets in, and everybody's just taking off, getting past that truck and everything else. And then one of the youngsters says, I could do my pee. And you got to pull over and run into a garage, and all of a sudden you look out, and there's all the trucks going back again. Oh. You know? And everybody's passing you. You lose your spot. You know? And you feel you got to get back out there again and beat them again. You know? Well, sometimes we take life like that, but God sees the entire picture. God's not thrown off by anything, right? And sometimes we get discouraged, we get frustrated, say, man, what's the point? All them trucks are going past me again. Don't keep your eyes on trucks. Keep your eyes on the prize where you're going. Keep your eyes on destination. Yeah, you understand that? Anyway. So he said, we will reap if we don't faint, but in due season, God has got a date set when he's going to bring deliverance or whatever the case might be, and in due season we'll reap if we don't faint. But I think a lot of times due seasons pass us, but we faint it 2 days before. How many's had fainting spells? Yeah, we all have. Last verse. He said, as we have therefore opportunity. Okay? There's going to be opportunities in your life all the time to do good. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good. Every time an opportunity comes up, he said, to the best of our ability, as you have opportunity, not always, you don't always have that opportunity. You understand that? He said, but as you have opportunity, do good to all men. I bring it practical. If somebody is struggling, and you know financially they're finding it very difficult, and you have extra that you can share with them, share with them. As you have opportunity. Now, if you don't have anything to give, you don't have an opportunity to help them. But maybe you can help them in some other way, pray with them, encourage them, whatever the case might be, but you can do something. As you have opportunity, help all men. Do good to all men. Pastor went out one time to a fellow, he said, called him by name, he said, if you had two houses, he said, would you give one to me? But he said, oh, of course I would, Pastor. You know I would. He said, I love you. I'd do anything in the world for you. He said, well, he said, if you had two motorcycles, would you give me one? Well, of course I would, Pastor. You're my pastor. I'd do anything in the world for you. He said, well, he said, if you had two cars, he said, now, Pastor, that's a different story. You know I got two cars. Anyway, some of you will get that. Some of you will just get it next week sometime. He said, as you have opportunity, do good to all men. And then he says, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Help everyone. But listen, if you see a brother and sister that's in need, go the extra mile, especially those who belong to the family of God. You understand that? James is the same thing. You know, those, he said, you know, when you talk to your brother and sister, if they're naked or if they're destitute and things, and he said, you can help them, and you don't help them, he said, you've got no mercy. You've got no love. Now, you're not doing this to get to heaven. Your salvation is already secure. Jesus already paid the price to get to heaven. But do good, he said, that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not only that, Paul went on to explain, he said, well, God received glory. He said, but the person receives help and you get blessed. It's a win-win situation. You understand that? So don't try to make people scrimp and, you know, scrounge and barely get your life. If you can help them in any way, help them. Do good to all men, but especially to those who are off the household of faith. And I say this, and I'm not saying it for this church's sake, because like I said, the church looks after me good. But, you know, if you're in a church, you're hear somebody talking about their pastor, or their pastor's doing this, their pastor's doing something else, the pastor, listen, bless them. Bless them. How many times you see in the Old Testament, Elijah came up and the woman, Elijah passed that way. Elijah came up. And he said to the woman, he said, what do you have? And she said, I don't have much. She said, I got a little bit of meal, which is flour. And she said, I'm going to make a cake. She said, for myself and my son. She said, that's the last food. She said, after it, we'll die. And he said, give it to me. I mean, we see somebody do that. They said, man, how selfish, how, you know, miserable. A man of God taking the last bit of food she had. But God had a different plan, see? Once you give it into God's hands, we've talked about this a dozen times. God's hands are tied a lot of times until we give him something to do something with. When Moses wanted to go across the Red Sea, Moses didn't know. God said, stretch out your rod. Didn't that be anything big? Stretch it. When he fed the 5,000, Jesus could have done it for nothing. He said, go out and find something. And he came back and said, we've got a little boy's lunch. Not much. That'll do. I just need something to work with. See, God wants something to work with. You look at somebody else getting blessed and say, well, man, they got this and they got that, and it seems like you don't have any problems and everything is all working fine and things. You don't know what they're giving to God. You don't know what they're planting into God's kingdom. And as they plant into God's kingdom, they're giving God something to work with, and you're sitting back home and says, I'm not giving no offering. The church is doing okay on its own. And then you get mad and wonder why, no, I'm not getting blessed. Well, you're not giving God anything to work with. I can't make it any more simpler than that, but that's the way it works. Anyway. But he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially to them who are of the household of faith. Now, this is how this new grace walk works. Okay, you don't condemn them. That's the old law. You love them. You encourage them. You take care of each other. Just finish off with this, just a list. Here's our attitude as a Christian under the new covenant. Just the first 10 verses now that we've gone through already. Here's our attitude. See, Paul's just clearing all this up and bringing it all to a head. First of all, he tells us our attitude towards believers who sin. You say, believers sin? Oh yeah, believers sin. Of course you don't. And then he says, believers who are burdened. Your attitude toward them. Your attitude toward yourself. How are you supposed to think about yourself? What about those who teach God's word? What is it where we took it in this morning? We're starting up here this morning. About God himself. What do you think about God? How does God look at me? Your attitude towards sowing and reaping, or giving and receiving, whatever term you want to use there. Your attitude towards outsiders. Are we supposed to just ignore them? See one of them struggling with their own fault? Or what are we supposed to do? And your attitude towards other Christians. Okay, let's touch on them very quickly. Believers who sin, what are we supposed to do? Restore them. Believers who are burdened, what are we supposed to do? Help them bear their burdens. Yourself, what are you supposed to do? Don't think of yourself any more highly than you ought to think. You say, man, I'd never do that. Paul said, be careful. He said, when you're restoring the one that sinned, be careful, he said, because tomorrow you might need someone to restore you. You understand? Don't judge them. Okay? Those who teach God's... Oh, I pushed the wrong button. Those who teach God's word. He said, communicate or distribute or contribute to the one that's teaching God's word. But God himself, what do you think about... He said, God is not mocked. You can't trick God. See, this is all got to do with our attitude towards all this now. In the new covenant, remember? Under the old covenant, there's a lot of laws. Under the new covenant, Paul said, how's this all going to fit together? And this is what he's doing. Your attitude towards God, you can't trick God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But sowing and reaping. He said, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And as I said, it's not just talking about the length of life. It's talking about the quality of life. You'll reap a blessed life, in other words. You look up the words, it's 22:22, I think it is Strong's number for the life there, Zoe. And you look that up, and you find out what he's talking about. It's God's kind of life. Okay, is the quality of God's life. Blessing and prosperity and overflowing and joy and exuberance and all these different... That's the kind of life you'll reap if you reap to the Spirit. But if you're going to be over here and grumble and complain and murmur about this, murmur about something else going wrong in the church and gossip, you'll end up miserable. You say, I don't understand why they're so happy. Well, they're reaping to the Spirit. Anyway, that's another message. Was our attitude toward those that are outside? He said, whenever you get the opportunity... Do good to everyone. To all men. What about those other Christians? He said, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God has got some wonderful blessings for us.